Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from the CC Broadcast, a part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Join us this week as our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, delivers his message, A New Light Has Dawned.
Well, Happy New Year from all of us here at Christian Crusaders to all of you listeners out there. We are so excited to be going into a new year with you, and I want to get right into the text today. I'm excited to be bringing you a message about the possibilities that lie before us with the light of God dawning in our lives through what we just celebrated at Christmas. And this message that I'm bringing you comes right out of John's account of the coming of Christ into the world. And as we listen to his account here, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, I'm asking the Lord to prepare your heart for the message that he has put on my heart to bring to you at the start of this new year, how the light of God can light your way in the world.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not or cannot overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Sleeping, thy presence, my life.
Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I
What does God say about light? He's the one who authored light. The first mention of Light is in the very first few verses of the book that he inspired for us by his Holy Spirit. At the very beginning of the book, it says, "In the beginning, God himself created the heavens and the earth." That means the unseen world is created by God, and then the seen world is created by God. God is the originator, the genesis of it all, the unseen and the seen. And here's what it says about this creation. "The earth was formless and void," which is a description of really nothing. There was a void there, and the earth itself was formless. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was hovering over the surface or the face of the deep. This almost rings of a black hole, just a vacuum of nothing. There was no form, there was a void, there was darkness hovering over the surface of the deep. Nothing exists but God. And God at this point decided to speak into creation. I don't know what it means for him to be outside of time, but he spoke something, it says, and God said, "Let there be very first and foremost light. Let there be light." And there was light. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the first light was. Was light just all of a sudden emanating from the Creator himself? I don't know. But God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then God made a statement about light. And it's an interesting statement. It's almost a statement of ethics or morality. It's a judgment about sort of the nature of light. God said, after he saw the light, that it was good. Good. As in not bad. Like good. Light was good. God created light. It emanates from him, and he has told us that it is intrinsically, morally, ethically, in some way, good. Now, why might he say this? When we do read the scriptures, it's good to understand, it's helpful to know, I think, that when God speaks of light in the physical sense, and then when he speaks of it in the spiritual sense, he really uses them interchangeably. So when we speak of light physically, we're also speaking of light spiritually. And when we speak of light physically, why might it be good? One of the first things that pops into my mind is it helps us see what's real and true. God loves the truth. God is the creator of reality, and light helps you and I see what is real and what is true. It's not a very fun life when you can't see what's real around you and what's true. I grew up on a farm in southwest Iowa, out in the corner of a section of about 320 to 340 acres. We were a half mile from any street where I grew up, so there were no street lights on our acreage where we lived. And in the junior high, I decided with my older brother to move down to the basement and have our bedroom in the basement. Now, our basement, you'd go down some steps, you'd go across an open hallway which had a bathroom and a workroom and a wood room and a storage room on one side, and then the other side kind of had the laundry room and my dad's sort of coming in from the farm work area. And you'd cross that hallway and go into our bedroom, and it would get pitch dark in this bedroom down in the basement. I mean, darkness hovering over the surface of the deep down there. There were two lights in our basement that were kind of basement lights, but there was really no lights outside. And so sometimes at night, you couldn't see your hand at all. And every once in a while, in the middle of the night, I don't know if you've ever had this experience before or not, but nature would call. And I would have to get out of bed, and I didn't want to turn the light on in the bedroom so as to wake my brother. And I would sort of feel my way to the door, go out of the bedroom, kind of navigate my way over to the relieving spot, and then I would take care of things and then hopefully just head back into bed. There was only one light switch in the main area of the basement. It was at the top of the stairs. And I finished what I was doing and was returning back to the bedroom. And I don't know what happened, but I just got a little disoriented down there that day. And I could not figure out which room I was in. And I don't know if you've ever had this panicky feeling where your mind almost stops working in a rational way. But that's what happened to me down in the darkness of our basement at this time. And I remember starting to just sort of see if I could feel my way around the entire basement, if I could just simply locate where that door was to the bedroom. And I'm almost embarrassed to say it. I could not find the door. And I don't know if I looked for an hour or 2 hours. I have no idea how long I was stumbling around in the darkness down there when I finally, and I can still feel it, I leaned my back up against the cold brick wall and I slid down on my haunches and I just gave up. And I said, well, I guess I'm going to sleep right here tonight and I'm just going to wait. Because I know, sooner or later, my dad, who's sleeping way upstairs, is going to wake and come down, and he's going to flick that light on, wherever it is, and he's going to say, boys, it's time for chores. And I have never looked forward to chores more than I was that night. And sure enough, when he flicked the light on, I saw where I was. I'll never forget it. I was in the middle of the room of the laundry area, not in the bathroom, and I had leaned up against a brick chimney and slid down a chimney that was right in the middle of the house. And I was so thankful to be able to see what was real around me. But not only that, the light showed me what was true and where I was, but all of a sudden I had options. Light was giving me possibilities. I could go back into the bedroom and lay down. I could go upstairs into the kitchen and get some food. But I actually kind of knew what was going to happen. I was going to get my work clothes on and go out and do chores. But I had options. I could see them before me. Light, why is it good? It shows us what's true. It shows us what's real. And it gives us possibilities, the opportunity of choice. We can see different pathways and look down roads and see what might be there. But there's more to light that might be good than just showing us what's real and giving us pathways. Just after God created light, the Bible says, he then gave life, and he made life dependent on light. Light actually gives and fuels life. After creating light, God said, let the earth sprout with vegetation and plants. If you've ever stuck a plant in the darkness for a long time, it doesn't do very well. I have one in my office right now. It's wilting, it's turning brown, the leaves are drying, I don't have the light right. Light fuels life. Then God put fish in the sea and birds in the air and mammals, crawling creatures on the ground. And then he created human beings in his likeness. And we like light. We're in the middle. We just went through the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. And what happens for numerous people around this time of the year is we have less light in the day and more darkness at night. We've labeled it seasonal affective disorder. Some of us, our countenance goes down and we lose our spark in life. We start to experience physical effects of the lack of light coming through our eyes and the affecting of our hormones and how we live in life. Light gives us a sense of what's true. It opens possibilities to us and it fuels our lives, friends. It fuels our lives. When we consider then what this might mean in the spiritual sense, we have to ask ourselves, If it's not physical darkness when God is speaking about spiritual light, what is spiritual darkness light? Why do we need spiritual light? The Bible says because we're living in some level of spiritual darkness. Some of us more than others. But down through history, human beings have a sense of wondering, what's true? We don't really know what's real. There's a sense of spiritual darkness in our world. We argue over, is this true or is that true? What is true about the creation of the world? We don't know. We have a sense of darkness that not only can be on the outside in wonderment when we see the presence of evil and violence. We see destruction and wars. We see murders and these kind of things. But the external evidence of darkness in our world also comes inside of us. And sometimes people, if they're overcome with spiritual darkness on the outside and maybe even on the inside, they start to grow hopeless, bitter, hard-hearted. And King Solomon described this in many ways, but in one way he said, if your hope gets deferred and your heart goes sour, you might become spiritually sick on the inside. And then sometimes people, if they don't have hope and they're bitter and they're anxious and they're miserable and they get, we have labels for different kinds of internal things that we feel. They get overcome by all of this. They may at some point or another say, it's too much. I want out. I've stumbled around in the darkness too long. I don't have answers. And in a world that the Bible says is groaning because there's a sludgery of gray darkness in our world, stained by sin, that's also infected then with the diseases and the sicknesses that overcome our body because of it. And then we also experience something else we weren't meant to experience by God's design, and that is the reality of physical death. And all this comes because we're spiritually separated from God. I don't know at what level you have felt spiritual darkness in our world, but it's real. And sometimes some souls get to that point where they just start to cry out, would someone please turn the lights on so I can see what's real? So I can know what way to go. So I can know if there's any meaning or purpose in life. Would someone please turn the switch on so that truth can be revealed, opportunities can be opened, and the life that is truly life can be experienced? Have you ever come to that point? I have too. And praise God for what we're celebrating here today, friends. The prophet Isaiah described it this way, in the midst of a people who were walking in the sludgery of the gray curse of sin and the darkness of death and disease and the indwelling presence of political authorities who were lying to them all the time. Many, many years ago, the prophet Isaiah spoke of God turning the lights on. And he said it this way, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. And how would this light come? How would God break through the spiritual darkness of our world, the curse of sin and death, the demonic strongholds that are here in our world? How would God break through? He himself would come. For unto us, a child is born, Unto us a son is given. And the government. This is the government of the whole universe, friends. The government would be upon his shoulders. These are the lights coming on, friends. God breaking into our world and ushering in an eternal kingdom. And the king would have the whole kingdom on his shoulders. And he's a perfect king. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You want the lights on, friends? Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Ever. No death, no sickness, no disease in the kingdom of God. We groan in it here now, but God sent his son to birth us into a spiritual light of which we will eventually cast off this body of decay. Those of us that come to his son will be made new in the image and likeness of his son through his spirit, and we will step into the glorious kingdom of God forever, where there is peace and joy and love forever and ever. Rescued out of this dark world and born into a new one. And that's what we're celebrating at Christmas, friends. John said it this way, the true light, which gives light to everyone, makes reality known to everyone that we're separated from God, we're living in a way we weren't designed to live, in the pain and suffering and the hurt and the heartache of this world. But we can be brought near to God through the sacrifice of his son and be adopted into his family through faith in his son. This light, he came into the world to display this reality to us. And then John says this, in him was life. Not just to give us opportunity and possibilities, and not just to teach us what reality is, but to give us life. The life that is truly life, welling up into eternal life where the Spirit flows through us like rivers of living water. Oh, how our souls long for this. And John said this, anyone could have it. Anyone could have it. To all who would receive him, to all who would receive him, who would believe on his name, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. Jesus is the light of all humankind. To all who receive him, who believe on his name, he would give the right to become children of God in his eternal family forever. Born not of blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but born of God. Have you experienced this rebirth in your life, friend? God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son into the world to pay the penalty for your sin so that you could be adopted into his eternal family. And not only that, having access to God, he'll give you possibilities. He's the way. He opens up the way. He'll bring you into a sense of reality, rational thinking about the world and its meaning and its purpose. He's the truth, and he is the life. If you're here today and you've never opened your heart to the gift of this child, I mean, I just say, why not? Why not? It is the great demonstration of God's love to all of humanity. And you can, in a moment, just say, God, I don't know where else to turn. I'm turning to you. Thank you for sending your son. Help me turn away from the darkness in my heart, the darkness in this world, to come into the life that is truly life, so I could live with an unquenchable hope and peace and joy and a supernatural power and love, even this side of eternity and then forever. You can open your heart to him in a moment, in an instant, as we pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. You could have left us groping around here in the darkness with no direction, no instruction, no revelation, and no insight. And we would be like I was in the basement, wandering around the walls, wondering which way to go. But you have given us your word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and it points us directly to the feet of your Son, Jesus. We are gathered here today, Father, to come before him together, to worship and to praise him, the great hope of all mankind. Give us hearts to believe, ears to hear what you're saying to us. And Father, if you are calling some to give their lives to you even now and open their hearts to you in faith, I pray that you quicken them to respond to the drawing of your Spirit and give them what they need to believe and then the desire to follow and to grow. And for all of us that know you, Father, we ask that you would continue to be pleased with our celebration of you as we worship and praise you from our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Light up the world, treasure of heaven, brilliant like the stars in the wintry sky. Joy of the Father, reach through the darkness, shine across the earth, send the shadows to fly. Tragedies of time were no match for your love. From great heights of glory, you saw my story. God, you entered in and became one of us. Sing
for tuning into today's broadcast. Our primary goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and to promote the truth of God's Word. In addition to this weekly broadcast, we have three podcasts which you can listen to for free on our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, or on our free mobile app. The first podcast is a Bible overview devotion called the Daily Dose Devotions. The second podcast features inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. It's called the CC Podcast Conversations. Our newest podcast is Homer Larson Live, which features a powerful series of sermons from one of our former radio preachers recorded live over his five-decade ministry to his local church.
Today you've been listening to the broadcast transmission of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. We're one of America's longest-running radio ministries on the air since 1936. We are completely donor-funded and donations are tax-deductible. They can be sent to 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or made online at ChristianCrusaders.org. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We'll be here again next week at the same time. And until then, may God richly bless you.